Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration this morning is taken from the 13th chapter of St. Matthew, which has already been read. Is this thing on? No. It's on? This thing is on. So, those people who used to be in the pew over there, the ones who don't come anymore, why is that? And how about my relative who was raised in the church just like me, but she doesn't go? And she says she's not going to teach her children about Jesus, and she maybe doesn't believe in God. Why? But that one guy, that one woman, like every Sunday, like clockwork, has a faith that seems deep and lasting, as solid a Christian as you can get. Why? Nobody actually asked Jesus that question. Nobody asked him why the same word is preached and the same miracles are done and the results are different. Some don't believe, others do believe, they become Christians. But of those who do become Christians, not all remain Christians until the end, and nobody asks. But Jesus teaches, yeah, some are going to fall away. And for a variety of reasons, they're going to fall away, and some will fall away more quickly than others, and others won't. Well, at least nobody verbalized the question why. Yeah, as far as we can tell, it's an argument from silence. Nobody asked Jesus why some people who become Christians later on fall away. Maybe he tells this parable because even though nobody is asking, he knows what you're thinking. They're thinking, what every Christian I know or ever have known is thinking, why do these Christians leave the faith? A large scale, I and a lot of other people, some Christian, some not, spend a lot of words these days wondering how the Christian West can be so intent on killing the goat, the goose of Christianity that has laid all these golden eggs, things like morality, order, eternal salvation, and the prosperity that comes with us. And that killing of that goose is a death from a thousand cuts. Lots of individuals bearing those knives, many Christian, many more formerly Christian. And sometimes that question takes the form of this: how can you know all these things? And how can you see God working in His creation? And how can you see God working in your own life? And how can you then give it up? Along with, you know, eternal salvation. Fact of the matter, if you're thinking of it logically, and that's one of the lost tools of learning that Dorothy Sayers talked about, no, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Right before this, he had been in a house, and his teaching was interrupted. Your mother and brothers are outside. They want to talk to you. And did they come to take him away again? And he says, pointing to you people, these are my family. And do we detect a little bit of annoyance in Jesus? These are my family. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds, a plural, gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. It wasn't a crowd. It was crowds. And we get the picture here of people coming from over here, over there, all converging on the location of Jesus, forming one big new crowd. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and the acoustics were good. And he tells a story, and we all like to listen to a story. And this story has a point. He told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, Some of the seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Katrina was baptized as an infant into the Christian faith in a Lutheran church in Iowa. She went to Sunday school. She went to church. And her parents spoke and modeled Christianity in the home. One day, Katrina saw an issue of Life magazine laying on the coffee table. On the cover was a photo. It had been taken in Bangladesh after a nasty hurricane or tornado, or whatever you call them there. And the photo was of images of starving children. And she took the magazine to Sunday school. She asked the teacher where God is for these children. And if God loved them, why didn't he do something about it? If he's truly almighty, like you say he is. And if this Christian religion is such a great religion, why are people all the time leaving it? And it didn't matter what the teacher said. In fact, the matter, Satan had been working on Katrina for years, and he found a chink in her armor in the love of the Christian for our fellow human beings, and Satan weaponized that compassion. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes along and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path, and that's what happened to Katrina, and that's why she doesn't go to church anymore. You know, Jesus could have chosen any of a number of familiar things for this story to be about, but he chose one from agriculture, sowing seeds. It was a thing familiar to the hearers. And at the founding of this country, about 90% of Americans were farmers, and the founders envisioned ours to be a nation that runs on agriculture, and it does. He also chose the sower and the seed to tell us that the spread of Christianity will look a lot more like farming than it will look like war. As you've heard, the norm in the ancient world, you spread your culture by winning wars, and then you spread your culture, you enforce your culture, including religion, on the conquered. And a lot of people establish colonies. That's not a new thing, to export your culture. And all presumed that their race and their culture was superior to everybody else's. Well, they won the war. What are you supposed to think? But the word of God is not like a gun. It's more like a seed. And the spread of Christianity will look more like the work of a farmer, less like the work of a soldier. In war, after the fight, there is a winner and there is a loser. And I can probably tell you why, fill in the blank, won that war, and why, fill in the blank, lost it. When you put your seed into the ground, it depends on a lot of things. Terroir, the soil, the water, the sunlight, and the rest. There is a fight, but our fight is not with people who are not Christian, and we do not seek by force to get them to join our religion. Those who are not against you, Jesus said, are for you. Our fight is against Satan, the world, and the flesh. Jesus said, those who are not for you are against you. Know your enemy. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Chad was not raised in the church. He had a vague familiarity with Christianity, mostly from the media and school, so mostly negative. And then when Chad was 12, a friend invited him to church. He went just to see what it was like, and it was like heaven on earth. The music, the rich liturgy, people were nice to him, and the man up in front talking, he was talking about, he was passionate about things, it made sense. This is what life's about, Chad said. And he asked, or demanded, to be baptized. He started going to multiple Bible studies and told anybody who would listen, and some who wouldn't, about Jesus, how exciting it was to be a Christian. But not everybody shared his enthusiasm for his newfound religion, and they told him about it. And then he himself kind of got bummed out. Things he used to enjoy, he now knew to be sin. And then there was a daily, weekly grind of the Christian faith. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arise on account of the word, he falls away. And that's what happened to Chad. That's why he doesn't go to church anymore. Yeah, the parable assumes that not all Christians are going to make it to the end. It further assumes that the spread of Christianity is a good thing. You want to spread it so people go to heaven. I think it must cost well over $100,000 total to keep a missionary in the field for a year. It costs the missionary and his family. They leave their own country to live in another country, and likely that other country is not as nice as it is here. Why do they do that? Because we want to spread Christianity so that people will go to heaven. There's only one road that leads to heaven, and that's the Christian road. And if you don't believe that, then you aren't all that excited about doing missionary work. And a lot of them aren't. A lot of them help people in other countries to live a more comfortable life, but they don't even bother to preach the word, or if they do, it's kind of a secondary thing. They maybe believe that there are lots of roads that lead to heaven. And they might believe Christians just a bit arrogant for thinking our religion is the only true one. And they might ask, do you really think that you have to be a Christian to go to heaven? Do you people really believe that? And churches and people like us who do believe that send people out whose primary task is to preach and teach the Word of God, Christianity, so people can go to heaven. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Judy was raised in the same church as Katrina. And the photo on the cover of Life magazine bothered her too. But when the Sunday school teacher explained how God loves, but people don't always, and that God did not make us robots, that made sense to her. And after Lutheran schools, grade K through 12, she went off to State University. She kept an eye out for a good Lutheran husband, but it didn't happen. But Judy's teachers at university did not have much good to say about Christianity. And when she questioned their teaching about evolution, they mocked her, and so did the other students. She hunkered down. She graduated, but the seed of doubt had been planted. Got a great job, headed up on the career road upward, and then one Sunday, she missed church. And it was hard. But the next week, it was easier. And as she moved up the corporate ladder, her salary moved up also, and she was able to go places and do things she had never imagined. She bought a huge house and paid other people to take care of it. She developed a taste for fine food and drink, And she got a little bit into some drugs and one-night stands. And at first that was hard too. But then it got easier. And then that kind of became who she ended up being. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. No, not all Christians are going to make it to the end. Yes, the spread of Christianity is a good thing. You want to spread it so people go to heaven. And the third and final assumption of this parable for today is that no matter what, we keep on sowing the seed. We keep on proclaiming the word. And depending on the soil, that seed will grow for a shorter time. It will grow for a longer time. Perhaps it will even persevere to harvest. That idea that some are going to fall away, it's nothing new. It's nothing new. The New Testament speaks of those who once understood, they were enlightened, who commit apostasy, reject the faith. And it's all over the Bible. That idea of once saved, always saved is wrong. That means that I was talking to a guy at Pillsbury down at Rockingham back in the 70s about Christianity, and he said that he is one. And he could tell you the date when he was born again, when he decided to become a Christian, but he didn't go to church. And he didn't talk like a Christian. And he didn't act like a Christian. He was Baptist. And Baptists do teach and believe once saved, always saved, that once you're saved, you're always saved. You can't lose it. The Lutheran version of that, I was talking to another older guy I worked with about Christianity about the same time, and he said, I was baptized and confirmed a German Lutheran just like you. That's the Lutheran version of once saved, always saved. He didn't go to church, didn't talk or act like a Christian, and quite frankly, I don't know if either of those two guys went to heaven. It's not my call, just saying. Be wary, be alert. Know that Satan, the roaring, hunting lion, looks at you and he sees prey. Other seed fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Chad was baptized and confirmed in the same church as Katrina and Judy. He was also married to Jennifer, from the church next town over. They were both buried in that church, but not before they had several children who were raised in the church, who married well, who produced several children apiece, who were raised in the church, and many of them married well, Christians, preferably Lutheran, that's a good match. Have you noticed that people don't have as many children as they used to? I'm not saying that's good, bad, or indifferent. I'm saying that's the way it is. So if you had 10 children, and half of them stayed in the church, do the math. That's 5. If you have 2 children, and half of them stay in the church, do the math. As for what is sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. That's what happens when you spread seed. That's what happens when you preach the word of God. Isaiah used the metaphor of snow and rain. We know about that stuff. It comes down from heaven and do not return there. Snow and rain come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out from from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Remember what Archie Bunker used to say to his wife when she was saying things he didn't want to hear? Stifle yourself, Edith. Stifle yourself. And if she started talking again, he would look at her, stifle. We get told that sometimes, don't we? Christians, stifle yourself. Stifle. But we keep sowing that seed. We keep nurturing those plants, like your children, for example, maybe others. And how does that crop do? You sow the seed, and what happens then? Why is that? Because not all soil is the same. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.